want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
What in God's name are we doing? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Holy crap. I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that.
It's 8 o'clock on a Monday night on the horn. That must mean this is Insincerious. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, the great Anthony White. It was a weekend, wasn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. What? There was nothing happened this weekend.
Nothing happened this weekend.
Longhorns didn't get blown out in an awful, awful fashion. I don't even think there was a Cowboys game, right?
I don't know.
No, that didn't happen.
That did not happen.
We got the Tonight Show. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk maybe coaches need to be fired.
Yes.
Who knows? Little NBA, little college basketball. Big Black Sports Spotlight of the Week in honor of MLK Day. Hope everybody's having a good MLK Day.
Yes, happy MLK
Doing some
Day.
Positive things for society
for
today.
Sure.
Top shelf, bottom shelf, Insincerious news all coming up on the show. But let's kick things off with the past week and what was the best game you saw. I saw you wrote this down and then went, that was seriously a week ago? That was a week ago. And it was.
It was.
But it's crazy to me that that was only 1 week ago.
Yeah, I know. Because it wasn't anything this weekend was the best thing that I saw. It was the Georgia-Alabama game. It was a tightly contested three quarters. The fourth quarter was the best part. But to see finally Alabama go down was nice. And to be able to say that my boys lost to the champs, that's good enough for me. It was odd, though, because I thought that Georgia was going to dominate that game. After the way that they played against us, I thought it wasn't going to be as close as it was. But Alabama's going to do what Alabama does.
And so, you know, that's the crazy part, is it was a retooling year for Alabama. They were not supposed to be this good this year.
That's just so offensive.
And it's crazy that they were still this good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a surprising result, but a surprising result that it was as close as it was. But, yeah, Georgia came out. They were the better team this year. They were amazing this year.
For sure.
And you could even see after the game. It's one of the few times you've ever seen Nick Saban not mad at a loss. He was like, eh, you know what? We did better than we thought we would.
That and it's, again, it's one of his proteges. So, of course, he's going to be.
And one of the proteges he apparently likes. Because a lot of them he doesn't.
Yeah, for sure. What was the best thing you saw this week?
I'll go with the Texas-Oklahoma game during the week.
Okay, yeah.
That was one
game.
Of the best performances they've had all year. It's against a rival. The Irwin Center sounded good. There was a good crowd there, biggest crowd so far of the year. Hopefully we'll get some more bigger crowds as the year goes on. But that was a lot of fun to be at that game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just fun to watch him put it all together. Of course, we'll talk a little bit later about how it all fell apart again. But when you can see they have that ability in them. So there's definitely some good hope going forward after games like that. And then we'll talk about the rest later. But let's get in right away to the NFL. Yeah. And let's get into Wild Card Weekend. Or what's it called now?
Super Wild Card Weekend.
They had to add into it.
Got it. Because it's the first time with the Monday night. I'm excited about that. But hey, it started off with a great game, I'll tell you that. The Raiders-Bengals, that was entertaining. It was everything that you kind of hoped it would be. In the aftermath, you know, I will say this, actually. The refs in that game to affect a game in such a crucial moment is one of those. It's such a bummer to watch those games. And the play I'm talking about is the Joe Burrow touchdown when they blew the whistle.
Yeah.
Technically, it was supposed to be dead, but it was clearly wasn't out of bounds. All these things and the technicalities of it really kind of diminished. And then you have Raiders fans. Well, if that hadn't happened, we would have, you know, won.
Which is not.
Ridiculous.
I mean, now the best case scenario is they get a field goal there and you kick a field goal at the end to tie it.
Yeah.
That's your best situation there. But in all reality, there was also a terrible roughing the passer call
on the very next drive.
The drive at the end of the game to keep it alive.
Yeah.
Where he went up and the player put his hands up, so he hit him in the helmet because he put his hands up to say, I'm not hitting him.
Yeah.
And they still called roughing the passer.
Well, because Carr sold it. He did the whole.
He did, but it's just, he literally put his hands up to be like, I'm not hitting him. And they were like, wow, you're trying to hit him in the head then. So it was throughout the game.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw it in other games that officiating was bad. It's funny that the crew's not going to be able to do anything. I think that they pulled the crew off all the future games for the playoffs. They were like, you're not reffing any more games.
Yeah. I mean,
which you had to.
You have to.
But
okay, so what do you do? So you're Raiders. What do you do? You keep the head coach?
No, he's 6-7. He's gone. Like, I get that everyone likes and they're like, man, he's a first interim coach. Yeah, he took over a 4-1 team.
Yeah.
Like, I get that the Raiders were overperforming at the beginning of the year, but you can't go, well, he took a 4-4-1 team and went 6-6 with them in the regular season.
Yeah.
What a winner.
Yeah.
And he also made some really bad, you know, decisions down the stretch, and the whole, well, we make play for the tie. Who plays for the tie? Yeah. How is that a morale boosting thing to go in the playoffs?
Right.
So I think there's a lot of parts of it where you go, look, he did well, but you need to bring in somebody who is a real head coach. And you know what? If you can keep him on the staff, that's fine. And I get the players want him there because I'm sure he's been nice to the players.
Yeah.
But you have to get somebody in there, clean up some things, make a couple moves. Derek Carr is still their quarterback going forward. I think Derek Carr has played well, especially down the end of the season.
But are you saying like so he's on his final year next year? They extend him?
I think I think you give him the contract.
Wow. Okay.
When you look at guys around the league and you say there's just not that many guys, are we going to take a chance to try and go get somebody and see how much of an upgrade is, but then go through the learning curve with that guy versus a guy that I think he gets a really bad rap because when he came out, he had a lot of the same problems his brother did.
Yeah.
And he fixed those problems. The problems David Carr never fixed, Derek Carr has fixed.
Yeah.
So I think he get a bad rap in that they were like, well, David Carr sucked the whole time and he started like this, so you're going to suck the whole time. He doesn't. He's not a great quarterback. He's better than Baker Mayfield.
Sure. But I mean, that's.
And Baker Mayfield's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, I'm saying, I get that. Where it is, it sucks that you're like, oh, we don't have one of the top five guys. But unless you're getting Aaron Rodgers, it's really a crapshoot if the guy's going to come in and perform better than Derek Carr.
Yeah.
So you can draft somebody in the next couple of years, but I wouldn't get rid of him.
So I would say, if anything, build around that defense because you've got some star players. And if you can have an elite defense, he can do enough to get you over the hump.
Exactly. And if you're in a game late, he has been very good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And he has that deep shot pass interference down to a T. He does it like a work of art.
And I get that it's with everything with Henry Ruggs, and of course that's much worse than anything football related.
Sure.
But you have to go out and get another wide receiver now because you just need a deep threat. You need that guy.
Yeah.
So you have to go get that. But I think the Raiders are in a decent place right now. And the Bengals, I mean, they're still super young. Like, we know this team is super young.
We'll get to
our predictions in a minute. But, yeah, they look super young because they should have won this game by 20.
Okay.
They should have. They're the better team. They should have been able to play better. But I get the O-line's not there and Max Crosby raised.
I was going to say, Max, that's what I'm saying. That defense is what kept the
But,
Raiders
yeah, but the Bengals, they should be playing better.
Okay.
Let's go over the Pats and the Bills. Another.
Boy, was I wrong on this one.
We talked before the game, and I said this is Josh Allen, and I'll give you credit. Josh Allen, like 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to you about it, and Josh Allen, and I said something about like Josh Allen sucks or whatever. He's a turnover prone, and you were like, I think you're comparing him to last year.
Yeah.
And I was. And you were like, okay. And so then I started to watch his progression more, and you're like, oh, no, he's now an elite quarterback in the NFL,
right.
But he doesn't necessarily get that credit all the time, and he's undervalued for his running and all this other stuff. So we can say, yes, they're a one-dimensional team, but what you saw happen throughout the game was Josh Allen's running ability made them have to let Singletary run the ball.
Yeah.
So you can't run early against them, but Singletary's getting them open later in the game.
Yeah. And so on the other side, though, with the Patriots, I mean, they really showed their inexperience and their youthfulness, but going forward, like, what do they do with this team? Is there potential still in this team? The main thing is, how many of their assistant coaches do you think they lose in the offseason?
I don't know because I don't think they're getting head coaching jobs necessarily. And I think everybody's going to interview these guys.
Yeah.
But the Bill Belichick coaching tree is awful.
It's
awful. He doesn't tell his coaches what happens. Like every coach that comes out of Bill Belichick comes out and they're like, oh, so you have the secrets? And they're like, no, there's secrets for a reason.
Wait a minute. No, like Mike Vrabel, wasn't he under?
Mike Vrabel didn't coach under
him.
Played under him.
I'm trying to think of other coaches I can't think of.
No, you can't because they last 2 years and they're out.
That's fair.
It's just a common thing. Bill O'Brien
is probably the
most successful coach that came out of the Belichick coaching
tree. That's a bummer. Okay.
But that thing is, so I think there's people want to talk to these guys, but like Gerard Mayo is one of the top coaching candidates out of there. That dude's been a coordinator for 2 years. Like, I don't think he's ready to be a head coach yet.
Well, what about Daniels? Do you think it's finally time for him to?
No, because I think he's right now, I think he's still in a position. I don't think there's a team out there that he fits right.
Houston Texans.
I know they might interview him, but I don't think he fits them right now. Because if you go there, you're like, cool, I'm going to be bad for 4 years.
You think so? With Davis Mills?
They're still far away.
All right.
Davis Mills, okay, they don't have any players.
They don't have any
players. They have okay offensive line.
Yeah.
They have Brandon Cooks.
Maybe.
And Davis Mills is okay.
Yeah.
I think, have I left anybody out?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure that's it.
No, you haven't.
So, yeah, there's still a big process. That's and it. Also, if you're going to bring an offensive guy there and just go like, well, I guess Lovie Smith is the guy.
Because I keep forgetting that he's still there.
Because who's building your defense then? Because you have no defense right now.
Yeah. So do you think maybe, this just kind of going off tangent, but Lovie Smith, do you think he maybe becomes their head coach?
No, I don't. I'd be surprised if he stays there throughout all of this happening. Yeah, like, I mean, just because of the upheaval, I think he did a great job.
He did a fantastic job what he had.
But this Texans team is, I like how I tell you everything else is pretty boring. The Texans are stupid. They're boring and then they're stupid.
This is me just avoiding the next topic that's on.
I know. So then the Eagles and Bucks played, right? Nothing happened in between there.
I mean, the Eagles and Bucks played. That end of story. I mean,
we knew exactly what was going to happen.
Exactly.
And it happened.
So Jalen Hurts, is he the starting quarterback next year?
Yeah, I mean.
Really?
I get it.
It was bad.
It was really bad in this game. I think he's had better games.
Yeah.
But again, this Bucks defense is legit.
It's so decimated with injuries.
There's still some stuff. And the D-line got to him. I get it. He went bad, and it went from bad to worse.
Yeah.
He started forcing it.
Yeah.
But we saw this with Nick Saban. Saw this how many years ago? And put Tua in because he went once. Jalen starts forcing it, he's bad.
But I mean, is that something that you think he can ever?
I think you have to give him time to do it. Okay. I think you did so much to get him, and you know you're planning to keep. Like, I don't think you just move on from him already.
Yeah.
I think you give him another year. You get 3 first round picks this year. So you're going to be able to rebuild. I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft who you're going up to go get.
No.
So maybe if you want to try and get Pickett at a point, if he falls low enough and you have a pick where you can go up and get Kenny Pickett, you may do that and see if you're going to put him in there. But I feel Kenny Pickett is about as much a risk as Jalen Hurts was.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. I forgot about their picks. They have some other holes to fill. And it kind of is the same with the Cowboys. Like, their running game is non-existent, and if they don't have that, he can't do.
No, and Miles Sanders did well for part of the season,
but
once they shut down, and it's again, it's like how the Bills were. Unless Jalen Hurts can run the ball, then Miles Sanders can't run the ball.
Yeah,
but if you get Jalen Hurts out on the outside, and they're like, all right, now we have to kind of keep a safety eye on him and a linebacker line on him, which is what he made the Patriots do.
Yeah,
now the running back's like, all right. There's 3 people trying to tackle me and 8 trying to tackle Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So I can beat 3.
Sure.
4 maybe? 3, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, so it just comes down to I don't see them moving on from him yet unless the right situation appears or, you know, if you get a Kenny Pickett maybe by the end of the year. But I think starting next year, Jalen Hurts is still there.
Okay.
Which is crazy, too, when you're talking about an super old Tom Brady, and you're like, well, he's starting next year. Of course, where would he go? Would he retire eventually because he's so old? No.
No.
Still looks fine.
Never.
Still ridiculous. Steelers and Chiefs? We'll go to that one next.
Yeah.
I'm just holding off on the paper for everybody.
Here's the thing. I actually did not watch. After the Cowboys game, I was like, I don't need.
I watched some of this, yeah. And it was, hey, look.
I didn't want to be bummed out.
No, like, and you watched all of it. But this is a game you're like, yeah, the Chiefs are just way better. Like, this is a regular season game.
Yeah.
This is not a playoff game. The Chiefs are way better. There's not much to talk about. They'll play again next week. But yeah. This was like the Eagles and the Bucks. You knew what was going to happen. Yeah. What happened was happened. There's no surprises. Big Ben's gone now.
Big Ben's gone. So are they drafting someone? I mean, because I just don't really see anybody in the draft that's high caliber. Or are they trying to?
And that's another one. Is that a Kenny Pickett team because he went to Pitt? Do you try and get him for the Steelers because he stays in Pitt? Is that your goal, or do you have something else? I haven't heard much about what their goal is going forward. Are they going to try and make a trade for somebody, or are they going to see if they can get somebody to sign in free agency? I don't think they're 100% sure right now. I think they were just trying to get through the season, but I'm sure they're looking at every quarterback in the draft.
Yeah,
but we'll see what they have to end up doing going forward. I will say I don't think they make a rash thing and trade up, you know, 20 picks and give up a draft for somebody.
For somebody in this one, at least.
Or trade the farm for a Russell Wilson or something like that. I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll be okay with being not great for 1 year.
I was going to say, yeah, just kind of wait for the next year. And so the Chiefs, though,
yes.
Like, are after watching that game or watching some of it, is this going to be a repeat of last year? Do you see them as now like this?
I can't judge anything off that.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw a few playoff games and we saw a couple guys run through. Like, the Buccaneers will not be that good the rest of the playoffs.
No.
because they're going to play real defenses.
Right.
So when you that whole we don't have wide receivers thing anymore will be a huge problem going forward.
That's true.
It wasn't this week.
Yeah.
So I'm just not judging anything off of it.
That's fair.
Not a big thing. We'll see more the Cardinals Rams. But of course, we're watching that right now. So we're not talking about it until we watch it and review our film and do our intense studying of that.
Yeah, we'll get to the
Cardinals. We'll get to the Cowboys game. I know it's painful. Look. This is super disappointing.
Yeah.
This is really unforgivable of somebody has to. You can't say, well, we'll fix it with this staff. We'll fix it with this team.
Yeah.
Something has to change because something clearly doesn't work. And number one, penalties. You cannot shoot yourself in the foot like that in the playoffs.
13 or 14 penalties in one game, and the majority of them in key moments of the game. Third downs, drives could have been stopped, and either it was pre-snap penalties was the issue, and that's that discipline thing. And you said this last night about who do you blame that on, and I was at first dismissive and like, no, it's not the coach, but it is the coach. It is the coaching staff.
It's been 2 years.
It's the culture. But the thing is, it hasn't been 2 years. It's also been when Jason Garrett was head coach. We had the same problem.
Since Mike McCarthy's been there, there hasn't been an issue where they go, hey, man, we really need to clean this up.
Yeah.
And hey, look, we all like Connor Williams. We think he can be a good player. But if Connor Williams is going to get two holdings a game, maybe it's time we try and trade him and find some other help in the offensive line.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have somebody who is consistently killing drives when you get to a playoff game.
Yeah.
And they just had too much of it.
It was the same
on both sides.
Both sides.
What was the first play of the game?
First play of the game.
Was a penalty.
It was a
lined up in the neutral zone.
It was ridiculous. And it was, but that one player, Randy Gregory, had three costly penalties. There was a holding penalty, a defensive hold. He literally hugged up the dude and took him to the ground. Insane. That is just a lack of discipline, and this is
after the game when we talk, and we'll talk a second about the end and the play call at the end of the game, which is bonkers to me. But when after the game and after all these years, we keep hearing the same thing. It's like, well, we know, and we got to be like, cool, do something then, because whatever you're doing doesn't work. I'm very big on adjustments.
Yeah.
I'm very big on a great coach makes adjustments. If we see what Bill Belichick has done, those teams don't look the same year to year.
Yeah.
Those teams constantly change. They learn 20 different defenses, and they shift their team to team and half to half, and they find the best ways to play, right? If you're not making adjustments, Kyle Shanahan is a great coach because Kyle Shanahan changes to what your defense does. So just when you figure out how to stop them, they score on the next drive because they've changed what they do. He has every receiver in the running game. He has every running back in the receiving game. Because he can adjust and he's planned for everything.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys go, well, Zeke, run up the middle. Well, I guess we don't have a running game. Guess we're going to throw it for the rest of the game.
Yeah. It's a bummer when they pan to Mike McCarthy and he looks lost. He looks like he's not supposed to be in the stadium. I want to throw some playoff stats to you.
Yeah.
There have been 28 500-point teams in the NFL history. Only two of them didn't make past the wild card. Out of 28, it was the 2000 St. Louis and our Cowboys. The Cowboys have gone 11 straight playoff appearances without reaching the conference championship, which is the longest in NFL history. It's just bonkers of what's going on. So I want to throw two names at you. I didn't put this on there, but let's say, I know that they haven't said they're going to get rid of Mike McCarthy, but let's say they do. Flores or Harbaugh?
Harbaugh. But I'll tell you why. And the reason why is because Harbaugh is tough.
Yeah.
Harbaugh will yell at his players. Harbaugh will go, you will lose some players. It'll be a problem. I mean, if we saw how many San Francisco players retired early because of Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But he will stop penalties.
Yeah.
Like, because you're not going to get him anymore. And if you do, you're not going to play. And that's what you want. There's no next man up philosophy on this team. You saw Pollard come out and try to be next man up. And they were just like, no, Zeke's still the guy. And we're just going to run up the middle with him. And look, I get that everyone's like, well, Zeke just doesn't have it anymore. Really? Zeke doesn't have it when he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage every single play. Zeke doesn't have it anymore. Or maybe the play calling sucks. I'm done with Kellen Moore of him being this offensive genius. I'm done with it. I think Kellen Moore is a good offensive mind.
Yeah.
But play calling wise,
he's very Jason Garrett.
He is the same. And he calls the plays. He writes out. He could write the play calls for the entire game before the game, set them out, and that'll be the play calls that happen.
Yeah.
He does not make adjustments. And to run the ball, I'm sitting watching this game, and I turn and I go, Man, it sucks, though. There's no timeouts, about 14, 15 seconds. You can't throw anything over the middle because you can't spike it anymore. Like, there's right. just not – the wiggle room's not there.
Yeah.
Everything has to be the outside. If you catch anything inside and they go, hey, I got one better, we won't catch it. We'll run it up the middle and then hope that this officiating crew that has already gotten us one delay of game for not setting the ball up quick enough.
Crazy. Yeah.
We're going to pretend that they're going to do it. And they go, well, we did in practice. Of course you did. You set the ball back up. Did you have a referee run across the field and do it? No, you didn't. So don't tell me you did in practice, because if you're not accounting for that, you're a bad coach in the NFL. You can do everything else you want, but please tell me what Mike McCarthy's doing.
I will. Okay, so I will say
and
this.
And we said this, if there's a time management reason they lose this game,
it's Mike McCarthy.
You have to fire Mike McCarthy,
for
right?
Sure.
For any reason.
Yeah.
And why did they lose the game?
In time management.
I mean, other things, but.
Discipline and time management.
The end of that game was so anticlimactic because they went, yeah, run up the middle. They should have let him run for 20 yards, 50 yards. They knew he couldn't get there.
So that's what I'm saying is I get all the analytics and I understand the play call wasn't the best. However, if he had done that play call and just ran for 10 yards instead of, I think he got like 30, got down, spiked the ball, would you then feel the same way?
I feel exactly the same way, because I think you could throw in two passes to the outside and the time it would have taken to get 1 second on the play clock for 10 yards. I think that's a bad trade. 14 seconds for 10 yards.
Well,
I get it. It's more open. But you're really saying you want to take 14 seconds, 15 seconds on the play on the clock.
Yeah.
You want to take 14 of them to get 10 yards.
Yeah.
And then spike it and then take one shot at the end zone. Or do you want to throw to the outside 6 seconds?
I think that's
throw to the outside 6 seconds. And now you got a real shot.
At that point, the defense had literally had three on each side.
Throw it over the middle and try and do it, but don't run it up the middle like that. I just don't get it. It's a terrible play call. It is terrible, because if I'm sitting at home and can look up and go, this cannot be inbounds, and you run a play knowing it will be inbounds.
So going forward next year, you think it's just coaching issue?
I think this is where the problem lies with the Cowboys is – you don't know where your coaches are going to be. I don't think you promote Dan Quinn, because I think you built this team around offense.
No.
And you need an offensive mind in there.
I think he'll be gone, though. I think he's going to get a...
After how this ends and what everything may blow up, he may decide to leave.
I don't think Kellen Moore does. Now, okay.
How do you hire Kellen Moore as a head coach after this?
You don't think Jerry gets crazy and hires him as the head coach?
I all right, that's not crazy. Again, there's crazy and there's stupid. Stupid is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Well, that's what we do.
That's stupid. That's not crazy.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
It's okay, so on the other side, Garoppolo, does he have your respect now? Do you feel like he's
I think he's done what he's supposed to do. I think that those 49ers are in a somewhat enviable but terrible position, that they trade a lot to get Trey Lance, and now they have a starting quarterback that isn't Trey Lance.
Well, so there's two ways you could look at this, right? Like, they kind of have the best of both worlds. At
they
the
do.
End of this, they can trade. Garoppolo now has increased his value.
Yeah.
And so they can get a ton of picks back, or they could trade Trey Lance.
And that's, I think they're in a good place, but I think it's just crazy that that's not how they expect this year to end.
No, for
and
sure.
And look, their year is not over. Cowboys is.
Well, okay, so next week, if they're without Bosa and Warner next week, do they get past the second round?
No. I don't want to be that dismissive of it, but no, I don't think they do. The Packers, you go up to Green Bay. It's just a hard game to win. And I get, even if it's really cold, that's a really good game plan for running.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be hard.
Yeah.
Let's do some real predictions real quick before we take a break. Bengals versus Titans.
I have the Bengals.
Titans will win this. Derrick Henry's coming back. It's foregone conclusion.
I know, but is it? Because he's coming.
I know. I'm being over the top on it. But yeah. No, I think the Titans win this. The Bengals, I just don't think they're ready yet.
Yeah.
We talked about it with the Patriots Bills. They just don't have any experience. I love what Joe Burrow's doing. Jamar Chase is a beast.
Yeah, I'm just on the bandwagon.
That O-line is garbage.
It is.
And so I think that at a point when you go, the Titans will be able to control the clock. Now, if Derrick Henry comes out and he's 20%, 30%, and not 70%, 80%, then you may go, okay, look, there's a chance because they're going to game plan around Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
The Titans there. 49ers versus Packers.
Packers.
You're going to Green Bay, man.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is pissed off.
This is his year.
And this is the team he wanted to play for.
Yeah.
So he's always got that little bit of extra vendetta against the 49ers.
For sure.
Chiefs versus Bills.
I actually have the Bills this time.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Bills as well. I think the Chiefs have shown weakness throughout the year.
For sure.
Josh Allen wants to be that guy. Yeah. He showed it this week with putting his foot on a throat.
Him and Sean McDermott both. They
put a foot on a throat.
Yeah, they mean business.
And so I'm picking them just because they look good. And this is what we won't know the result of this right now. So it could be the Rams. It could be. Do you have? But Tampa versus the Rams.
Tampa. It doesn't matter who they play. I have Tampa beating both of those teams. I just don't. I don't like either one of those teams. And as for when it comes,
you know
to,
what? You're right. You're right. And I
get it. Like I would rather see the Cardinals or the Rams go further. But it's Tom Brady and that experience. And this is his time. So.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will talk a little NBA. We got a big Black Sports Spotlight of the Week in honor of MLK Day. And, of course, Top Shelf, Bottom Shelf, all coming up here on It's Serious on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260.
I took a walk this morning with so much to do.
Some good Tomar on the FCs there.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, Rise Above. Check that out from Tomar on the FCs. I love that record. Tomar is a great guy, too. So go check out Tomar in the FCs. Anthony, what are you ready to get some NBA talk?
I'm starting to get into it now. I'm starting to feel it. Yeah. I got to find a new team, though.
Come on over to the Spurs, man. Nah. We're just loving life right now. Yeah. You don't want to go to the Nets. The Nets, big news, Durant, yeah. Tears his MCL. And by the way, guys, just say MCL in the press release so I don't have to be like, muscular, MCL. All right. Make me read big words. MCL, we get it. He sprained his MCL.
Yeah.
He's out 4 to 6 weeks. This comes with a team that Kyrie is back, but only playing away games in arenas that allow him to be there.
Yeah.
Harden is not the guy. They've dealt with so many injuries this year.
This team seems cursed.
I've heard from some inside sources Ooh. That Nash is somewhat on the hot seat right now.
I heard
now.
That too. That's silly.
And it's silly, but the one thing, if you fire him, you fire Mike D'Antoni. You do not let that man run your team. You are a playoff loser if you do that. He is the Mike McCarthy, Jason Garrett of the NBA.
No, he's enjoyable, though. He's a fun coach. See, Mike McCarthy,
fun all the way to your second round exit in the NBA playoffs.
Hey, that's further than we got. I'd take that.
and then the Lakers, as you're talking about, Magic Johnson, who Magic just is always saying something, isn't he?
But now that he's not a part of the organization, for sure. But everything that he said is warranted. He ripped the Lakers for lack of effort and no sense of urgency. And it shows in their play. And I know that we don't have AD, but we should still be able to beat these teams and or not lose by almost 40 points.
And I get they're older, but when you go, man, we got Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Avery Brad, like all these great, but Malik Monk's playing well, Jalen Horton Tucker. You know what, though? We just need that. We need that other mega superstar to be 500.
Yeah. It's like, to be 500.
That's what I'm saying.
That is ridiculous. And so
it's not like, oh man, we just got to get over that hump. Like we can't get past the Western Conference Finals. No, no. We're trying to be 500 yeah. And you're like, we need another guy.
It's a problem. And Westbrook is being the most Westbrook right now. His shooting is just terrible, but he's still just going to throw up shots. And that was the one thing I was worried about. But I thought I was confident that LeBron being who LeBron is, that he would be able to control that. And it is clearly that he can't. And so at this point, it's just kind of you throw your hands up in the air and like, well, what do we do now? Like, what this is who we are, and
Blow it up, everybody, blow it up.
Honestly,
release Russell Westbrook.
You think Caruso's busy? He wants to come.
We'll give you
out?
All of our guys. that's one way to take down the Bulls. Put Westbrook on them.
Yeah, for sure.
One way to take them down. The Warriors doing it the right way. You know what? They had a struggle. They lost to the Bucks. Bad. And then come back and blow away the Bulls.
And they're only a game and a half out of first place. And, yeah,
and Klay just came back. I think Draymond's still going to miss some time. Look, as much as I hate him, he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is in the NBA because everyone's a Hall of Famer in the NBA. But he's not that guy. I don't think he should have been as many All-Star games as he's been to. He is a very good player.
He is.
I don't want him on my team, but I can understand why you'd want him on yours. I can get that.
Sure.
And then trade deadline is coming up. We're starting to get some of these trades. You've put together a few trades, a few people, and we want to see if we want to go through and make these trades. Boston has to make a trade, right? I get it. And I keep seeing people being like, well, you You just got to get rid of Ime. He's a problem.
No,
because they had this problem before. You've got two guys that play the exact same, and then your third best player, Marcus Smart, also plays the exact same.
Yeah.
You have to build a team, not just get the guys who everybody goes, oh, they're really hard to build around because they like the ball in their hands, and they just got three really good guys who like the ball in their hands.
Yeah. And so these trades that I put on here, I actually didn't make these. These are more for you to say how you feel about these. But so one of the trades would be 76ers finally getting rid of Ben Simmons, but sending him to Boston. And there's some other parts to it, but the main part would have been for Jaylen Brown.
And that's, I think for the 76ers, it's great. Yeah. But I don't think Boston gives up Jaylen Brown. I don't think anyone really gives up anything for Ben Simmons right now.
That's fair.
I think people are more like, we have to pay his whole salary. That's how crazy devalued he is because of all the antics he pulled, because of how he looked in the playoffs. Yeah. He's just super devalued right now.
One of the other ones is the Rockets. They possibly trading Christian Wood and or John Wall. Wood to the Knicks for Mitchell Robinson and Kimba and a couple first-round picks is what I saw. Would you make that trade?
Look, you have to trade Christian Wood at a point now. He's clearly doesn't want to be there anymore.
And he's just so good.
I think that's a good trade for both teams there. And look, if the Rockets have proven one thing, they like old point guards, and Kemba fits right in of a guy who's like, man, I was really good like 4 years ago, and then he fits in with the John Walls and Russell Westbrooks and
Chris
Wells.
Does he, though? I feel like he just gets a bad rap. I don't think he's
as... He looked better when he came back after they sat him down. I'm making more of a joke of the Rockets have had a lot of old point guards
in
a row.
They have. And then the last one, or one of the other ones, the Spurs. Thaddeus Young, for God's sake, why do y'all still have him?
I think it's just a deal they haven't got the offer they wanted.
But what about this one? So for Suns, for Darryl Sark and Jalen Smith and 2 second-round picks.
I do think it's just for Sark. I mean, like, honestly, we're going to cut him if we don't trade him. I think that's the problem is his value is very low because everyone knows just wait and they're going to cut him.
Okay.
So I think that's the problem right now is everybody's trying to fleece the Spurs out of another player or another's. So I think there's a lot going into it. And plus the Spurs probably can't keep all of their young guys. So there might be looking going forward that you got to pay Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
And you've already paid DeJounte. You've already paid Derek White. Do you get rid of one of those guys? But then Derek White has just been out and the Spurs are 0-5 without Derek White now, I think.
Yeah.
So there's lines of like, well, Derek White seems to be a big part of this team, even though he wasn't necessarily playing well early in the year. It's definitely interesting. There's some big games of the week. Cavs versus Bulls. Yeah.
This is why I'm getting excited because now we got the Cavs Bulls.
The Cavs haven't looked as good since Rubio went down. Rondo's doing okay there, but this is still a fun young team to watch in the Cavs.
Yeah. Grizzlies versus the Bucks. Like I love this Grizzlies team. The Nets versus the Spurs. The Spurs are going to get their revenge in this game.
I don't know. If we're healthy,
they don't have Durant.
I know Patty Mills was out for a little bit. So, if you lose Patty Mills, that's kind of the real MVP. Yeah. We all know Patty Mills is the real MVP.
Bulls versus the Bucks on Friday, and then the great game, the rematch of a couple years ago, championship Lakers versus Heat. It's just a game for me to cry at.
Look, maybe the Heat won't have any players. There's been a few times this year.
It's the only way
there was one
win.
Where the Spurs were going up against him, and it was Tyler Hero and G League players, and they were trying to make the game happen. And I'm like, yeah, of course the Spurs are trying to make this game happen. Take all the Austin Spurs. We don't care. Put six of them on the court. It's Tyler Hero and the G League versus our guys. Yeah. I feel like we should win this. They finally postponed the game.
If that happens, I wouldn't be surprised if our Lakers would find a way to lose that game.
We'll go a little bit of college basketball. It was crazy week, Big 12.
Crazy.
Everyone just started flipping around. The Big 12 is going to be nuts to watch. We lost both undefeateds, last of the undefeateds, Baylor and USC both lose. UCLA gets upset by Oregon. I'll tell you this. If you like college basketball, this is going to be a fun year.
Fun year, yeah.
This is going to be a fun year because a lot of crazy stuff is happening. Texas,
looked so good.
They look so good against Oklahoma, and this is now I'm starting to wonder how much of it is home and away because they have not lost at home yet, and they are getting embarrassed on the road a couple times now. And so you're like, is this something where we got to change the routine of going on the road because something seems off when they're getting out there? And it's just, at the end of the day, you have to find offense out of defense. You're playing good enough defense, but then they keep going down the court and stopping. You're like, you have to score quick. You have to move fast. They did against Oklahoma. I don't know why they stopped it. And I get there's different. There's, each scenario is different.
Sure.
But you got to push it. Marcus Carr has got to start being more of it. Courtney Ramey has got to start being more of it. Andrew Jones has started to take on more of it. And I'm starting to lose hope in this inside-out game with Trey Mitchell and Christian Bishop. that it just so many turnovers in this inside out game that it's either what you got to clean up these turnovers completely or start to run a different game and run more pick and roll, because Christian Wood and Trey Mitchell can shoot. So run more pick and pop, pick and roll your big guys. I think that might be another way to try and create offense instead of just let's post them up in the post. They immediately triple team them.
Yeah.
And the ball pops out.
But don't you, I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, this team's pretty young. They're all fairly brand new to the team.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some
there is,
pains.
But we're in Big 12 schedule. You have about 2 weeks until this gets to insane schedule of Baylor, Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas. It gets to, you're playing top 10 teams every week, every day. So I don't think there's a lot of time. And I would like to see them try some more pick and roll, pick and pop stuff. Just as something to change up this offense, it does not seem to be working, and they keep putting them in the post, but the double and triple teams always come, and they're not able to do a lot once the ball comes in, and they're not finding the right guys on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So Andrew Jones has been getting open on that and him been able to hit some threes, but Marcus Carr has not really been getting open. Some of their best offense is when they double Marcus Carr. He's done very well of basically pulling his two defenders to where they are about to trap him and then throwing the ball in, and they go, okay, it's now 4-on-3.
Yeah.
We should be able to score here. That's some of their best offense right now, is when the other team tries to trap Marcus Carr. But you have to be able to.
So then this is more on the coach then, just not making the adjustments or seeing.
And I think it's just they're really trying to be an inside-out team.
Yeah.
It works really well if you have a dominant post presence, but I don't know if Trey Mitchell and Christian Bishop are strong enough to really power down the post. And if you're starting too far away from the basket, and you get that ball in, and then a triple team comes, you can't even really throw at the basket accurately. Mm. Plus, your guy now, even a cutter at this point, you're close enough to the basket. I think if you push those big guys out a little bit, it may open some things up and let these guys drive to the basket a little bit more, and let the guards, who seem to be the guys who are leading the scoring going basically all season, let those guards be a little bit more heavy scorers and try and create more pick and rolls and pick and pops with the big guys.
That's fair.
Why don't we take a look and go over to the Black Sports Spotlight of the Week. It is MLK Day today, so we thought Anthony should go a little bit big on this one. Anthony, what for you have for us this week?
All right, so today we're going to highlight not just one person, but several, and their contribution to the civil rights movement. Start off in 1958, Jackie Robinson became a civil rights leader, organizing the Youth March for Integrated Schools with Martin Luther King Jr. Their goal was to get 1,000 students, black and white, to march on the Lincoln Memorial. They drew 10,000. In 1961 in Lexington, Kentucky, Bill Russell and other black members of the Boston Celtics were refused service at a restaurant. They boycotted the game, which was unprecedented at the time, as blacks were expected to comply. After the assassination of Medgar Evers in 63, Russell flew down to Mississippi to conduct integrated basketball camps. On June 4th in 1967, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, Lou Alcindor, and other black athletes met in Cleveland to show support for Muhammad Ali, who refused to join the U.S. Army. All would become major components in the civil rights movement. In 1968, after winning gold and silver, Tommy Smith and John Carlos rose their fists with black gloves in protest against racial discrimination at the Olympic Games. In 1970, the Syracuse Eight was made up of 9 African-American student athletes that decided to sit out the season due to racial inequality in the program. Their demands were better medical care and stronger academic support for all student athletes and the integration of the coaching staff. In 1972, while being honored during the World Series, Jackie Robinson called out the MLB for the lack of black managers and lack of opportunity during his speech. 2 years later, Frank Robinson was hired as the manager of the Cleveland Indians. These are just a few instances of players standing up for racial injustice. I will be highlighting others throughout the year, like Kurt Flood, Dick Allen, and Arthur Ashe. So, salute to all these black athletes and their bravery to buck the system and stand up for racial equality. Had it not been for them and their sacrifices, we would not be here today. So, salute to them and the great Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes, very good. Very good. That was a great Black Sports Spotlight of the Week. A lot of things to look into. You know, to diversify your knowledge a little bit and get a little knowledge today.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Anthony, why don't we go over to Top Shelf, Bottom Shelf? We do this every week where Anthony gives me some subjects and I tell you if it is the grade A bourbon that I like to drink or if it is the swill that sits at the bottom of a bar rag. Anthony, what have you got for us this week?
All right, well, kind of piggybacking off of the Black Sports Spotlight, I'm going to go with the Mike Tomlin is now the only remaining black head coach in the NFL. There's 70% black players in the NFL and now 3% head coach.
It's crazy. It's insane. I saw on Fox the pregame yesterday, Terry Bradshaw and Jimmy Johnson and Howie Long having a heated discussion about this, and realized I should probably stay somewhat out of this discussion. That it's, look, I think it's completely wrong. Something needs to be happened to fix it. I don't know the solution, but I saw them and they went, well, there needs to be more black owners. And then they go, well, there's more black GMs. And then they just went, you know, it shouldn't require black people to hire black people. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, that should. It's crazy how to say that for everyone else in the room to go, oh, did we just say that? We just said that. So you're like, all right, realize what you're saying when you're saying it. And it's insane. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I the only thing you can really think is that the white coaches know how to interview better to what these owners want to hear.
Sure.
And that shouldn't be the reason you hire a coach.
Yeah.
Because it's not what you want to hear. It's what you need to hear. It's what a person can actually do in their track record. The fact that Eric Bieniemy is not a head coach is crazy to me. Todd Bowles needs to be a head coach in the NFL. There's a lot of Leslie Frazier has done a great job with the Bills. There's a lot of these guys that deserve chances in the NFL a lot before some of these other coaches that get them.
And on top of that, you know,
Byron Leftwich, I'm a huge fan of.
Byron Leftwich, but also Brian Flores not getting a fair opportunity. David Coley,
yeah,
like getting 1 year.
No, 1 year that he exceeded expectations.
It's crazy because it's who do you think you're going to get to do any better? So it is unfortunate. I would put the over under 3 new hire head coaches that are black. I think there's, and it's not even to do the right thing. I think they are just deserving. All those names that you just mentioned, they are all deserving.
I think there's probably 8 to 9 guys who should be heavily in conversations.
100%.
And I think, yeah, you're right. 3 to 4 of them will get hired.
Okay. Novak Djokovic having his visa revoked twice.
Yeah, he screwed up. It's bottom shelf because it's tennis.
Yeah, but I knew you were going to say that.
Look, I played tennis growing up. I like tennis. But the fact that this is the biggest story you can get again about tennis is that a guy can't play in the Australian Open. If the biggest story is a guy who's not playing, that doesn't bode well for your coverage.
That's fair.
But no, it's bottom shelf because look, he lied. Stop lying. Stop lying, everybody.
That's odd.
He lied about when he tested positive. He lied about where he was. He went to a press conference with COVID. Yeah, punish him. Send him home. We can go, hey, you learned your lesson, right? Cool. Then come back the next one and be one of the greatest who's ever played. But don't. Yeah, you can't just go, well, because I'm really good. No rules apply.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fine. Kick him out.
Okay. it's tennis, bottom shot. Colts GM won't fully commit to Wentz.
Shocking news. Bottom shelf along with side with Captain Obvious.
All right, so then the next question, who's a better fit for Indy? Who could you see making a difference? Because that team is a stacked team.
I get it. I think you got to go young here and just got to try and get somebody in there. Look, play Sam Ehlinger for all I care. But you can't go with a guy that you know is not going to do it. And you knew that. You gave up a first and a third for this guy. I don't think you can give up more to go get somebody else. I mean, we can throw Matt Ryan's name into the discussion because I talked about him last week as a guy who I think is a cheap alternative for a team that's looking for a rental. But I think the Colts, in the way they built this franchise, is not looking for a rental. I think they want a long-term guy. I don't think there's any young guys that fit that bill that you're going to get.
What about one of the two, either one of them, the 49er quarterbacks?
Trey Lance I wouldn't put there because I don't think that works with their system. But, yeah, Jimmy G if you can get him. But I think you're giving up another first, at least one first.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you can give up another first for another quarterback. That might just be because Mike Shannon's a really good coach.
Yeah.
Kyle Shannon, sorry.
Okay, we kind of touched on this. Houston Texans actually do fire head coach Culley after one season, and they still owe him $17 million. This man is going to get paid $17 million to not have to deal with the Texans franchise.
So this is for Culley. Other than the fact they tried to skew him a little bit, and I think they got real bad press as soon as they did it, David Culley walked into a team where no one had really even heard his name much in circles before.
Yeah.
He took this team to better than everybody thought he was going to do.
Yeah.
The team... He got Davis Mills where he needed to get him. And, like, yeah, there's a lot of coaching staff, but they got this team a lot better than everybody thought they were going to look at the end of the year. He kept him out of the headlines for most of the season. He did the right things. I think he comes out of this shining.
Yeah.
And rich.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't think he was getting offers for offensive coordinator. I think you can put him, I don't necessarily call him a play caller, but I think you can put him as an offensive coordinator on a team where the head coach is a play caller.
Yeah.
I think you can put him on there and go, look, this guy's good for the team. This guy's got good, he's building morale. He's built. I think he walks away from this
better
as the winner.
Yeah.
Because the Texans surely aren't the winner.
Yeah, even though they say they did, they are.
No, they didn't. They're idiots.
I know. They are.
pretty steadfast on this station across the
board.
Word
of the day, idiots.
You know what killed me? When I realized that Cal McNair is a four-year walk-on player for the University of Texas Longhorns, that really bummed me out.
Why?
Because he's a Longhorn. I should like this guy, and I cannot stand him.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
It's terrible. This guy played for my favorite college team, and he still became this. But he was in the Fred Akers years. Let's all make fun of Fred Akers. I don't know. That was before my time. Yeah.
All right. Judge ruling that ex-owner Kaiser Jr. For the Broncos heirs can't buy back portion of the Broncos, so clears way for the sale of franchise.
Oh, that's huge. That's definitely top shelf, because this now means if you're talking about the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, if they're able to get this done soon enough and you get John Elway as a buyer or the Mannings as a buyer, yeah. I mean, again, it's not just them. It's a group of owners, but that's going to be the face of your ownership most likely. I think that's huge to try and get this Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers sweepstake that is going to be going on this offseason.
Could they get both of them, though?
Yeah, Davante Adams, free agent.
I know, but they just paid a lot of money for both. Like,
yeah, but yeah, I feel like you can make things happen.
Okay.
But yeah, I think, and I look, I don't think you get one without the other.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, unless Davante Adams stays in Green Bay, I don't think.
But do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave now?
Yes.
Man.
I think it's so, he seems like the type of guy who made up his mind and it's staying that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the right decision. But I think he also wants to show, like, I think he wants to win a Super Bowl, win MVP, walk away, and watch it burn behind him.
He wants to do the Tom Brady.
Yeah, because if he can watch that, then he goes, I'm the greatest, not Green Bay.
That's fair.
And it just seems like he's that guy.
I was about to say, that seems like a thing he would do.
All right, let's do one more, and we'll go to the question of the week.
Calvin Ridley and the Falcons are both interested in a trade. Where do you, if they do this, where do you think he would best fit?
That's a hard one. I mean,
young, very talented. You don't.
I mean, look, I mean, maybe this is one of those ones you put in a trade with the 49ers.
Yeah.
If you're trying to, if you say, hey, we'll give you we'll give you a first and Calvin Ridley, and you give us Trey Lance, and you keep Jimmy G, and now you get a solid wide receiver alongside Deebo Samuel, what you can do with him. And a guy that you worked with before when you were with Atlanta, so you already know him.
I actually really like that.
So something like that is a possibility to me.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
But yeah, I could, it's just hard because wide receivers are so plentiful. I mean, Las Vegas, they need a wide receiver, but I don't know how much they're willing to give up for Calvin Ridley.
That seems like too much of a risk.
And that's the thing is and I don't know if Calvin Ridley's quite the guy they need there. I think they need somebody younger there to build the team with.
Calvin Ridley's young.
He is, but he's not. He's been in the league for a few. He's got a few miles on him.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, anywhere you see him?
I had originally thought the Saints would be a good fit because they definitely need a wide receiver.
But they got Michael Thomas coming back if he comes back.
Maybe.
I'm still putting them in the Michael Thomas. I think they're still in the Mike because they're paying him. I think they're still in the Michael Thomas. I don't think you can pay Ridley and Thomas.
Okay, well, then the other team would be the Lions. I would love to see him. I know that he probably wouldn't want to go there, but...
Yeah, I think if you want to get off a losing team, you normally don't want to go to the Lions to get off them. And... until they pay Megatron, I'm not sure any wide receiver want to go there.
What?
They say, you know, Calvin Johnson money?
Yeah.
And they haven't paid him yet?
Uh-huh.
I don't think any wide receiver wants to go to a place that's disrespecting one of the greatest of all time.
All right.
I'm just saying. I get it. I get it personnel-wise.
Yeah.
That it could really help this young team, and we all want the Lions to kind of be better.
I do.
But, again, this is one of those teams you're like, I think you're a couple years off, and then you add a guy like that in there. But right now, I think it's – and, I mean, that's a big one. Is the offseason, the biggest free agent is Godwin. And where does he end up? But we'll talk about that more during the offseason. But that's another one of those big wide receivers that there's going to be a ton of people in the sweepstakes for him. And I think people are going to want to know where that happens first before they necessarily go out and trade a lot for Calvin Ridley.
That's fair.
Let's go to the question of the week. What do you got for us this week, Anthony?
Okay. Of the five teams that lost in the wildcard weekend, which has the most to fix and will not be in the playoffs next year, and which is closest to a title run? The Raiders, Pats, Eagles, Cowboys, Steelers.
I'm going to say the closest to a title run, the Cowboys. I think, look, this team is talented. This team's got it. I get what happened this year, but I think if you make the right coaching change, the people are there. I think if Dak comes back and is healthy next year, the people are there.
I'm still bitter. You're right, but I'm still bitter.
I get the Pats are the one that are the easy choice there.
It is.
I think the Pats are a couple pieces away on offense.
You're right.
When it's like Mac Jones and Damian Harris is your offense, I think you're still a couple years off.
Yeah.
I think it's the Cowboys.
It is Cowboys.
Like, they shouldn't have lost.
Which is ridiculous.
They should not have lost.
Yes. Now I'm mad again.
Now you're mad again. And then which has the most to fix? This is not a question, right? It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Over the Eagles?
The Eagles are young and building. The Pittsburgh Steelers just hit the end of the road.
Yeah. All right.
There's a sign where they just went, oh, we're on foot now? We got to park the car. We're on foot the rest of the way, guys. Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't have a quarterback.
That's fair. All right. You're right.
All right.
Right,
so
on both sides.
There we go. If you want to join in on that, you can join us at InSincerious on all our social media platforms. When we come back, we're going to talk a little InSincerious news. I had a teaser in here. Oh, it's the longest first date in history. We'll tell you about it coming up here in InSincerious News here on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. All right, back on InSincerious. Are you ready for some InSincerious News, Anthony?
Yes, sir.
All right, our first story comes to us. A woman in China went on a blind date. Apparently, she's getting older. And, of course, in China, they're like, you can't get old and not be married. So her family like found 15 suitors for her.
Wow.
And they did a first date. The man said, I'm a pretty good cook. I want to come over to my house. I will cook dinner for you.
Sounds like
they
murder.
Did it. Apparently, the neighborhood there had a shutdown immediately because they got the COVID test positive and they were like, everybody shut down. 5 days isolation. And she had to stay at her first date's house for 5 days.
That's rough.
That is very rough. And then she started like posting about it because that's what you do. Yeah. And then she was like, yeah, not the best time of the month for this to be happening. To be in a guy's apartment without any supplies.
Yeah.
Seemed terrible. Also, apparently not the greatest cook.
Aww.
She was like, not the greatest cook, but you know what? He's willing to cook. So I'm going to give him credit for that.
Are they married now?
They are not married. I doubt they will ever want to see each other again. She had apparently had to post, like, take some stuff down because then it gets so viral and then everyone's talking to the guy. You're like, oh, we're still stuck together and you know about this now? Where's the last place you don't want to get stuck for a week?
I'm not going to name names, but last year was a... That was an issue.
And that was at your house.
It was at my house. That was fun times. Or the morgue or camping. Those would be my nightmares.
Yeah, camping seems like when they're just like all the roads are closed, you're like, no.
Yeah.
My cell phone don't work. No. There's no power. No.
I'm done.
Yeah, I get with that one. The Portland Pickles, a minor league baseball team, the mascot took over their Twitter page or Instagram page for a day. And one of the first pictures he posted was I think it was like, you up or what you up to? And it was a picture of him sitting. We found out was his thumb sticking up in the middle of the picture.
What an idiot.
And they cut. No, they knew what they were doing.
No, I know.
And then afterwards they were like, oh, we didn't mean to do that. They totally knew what they were doing. And they were like, he was just giving a thumbs up. And I think the joke was they were going to post that. Everyone's going to go, what? And then they were going to post the full picture and be like, you have dirty minds. But they did it. And everyone was like, this is a minor league baseball team. Children do this. You can't show a Pickles phallic member. And they did. What is the worst mascot in sports? Because this Portland Pickle guy seems to be pretty bad right now.
That's pretty rough. The Pelicans mascot and the King Baby. I don't know if you've ever seen that thing. It's terrifying.
The King Cake Baby.
The King Cake Baby.
And then, the original Pierre the Pelican was nightmare fuel.
Was nightmare.
I don't know how that got approved by anybody. It seemed like they found out the Pelican was the mascot a day before. And we're like, throw some stuff together. We have this moldy old Pelican like parrot costume in the back. We'll make it a Pelican. Make it work.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
And then the Buckeyes because... The Buckeyes.
A Yale class, she is a Yale professor, is putting her class online. She says that she has surged over 3,000% in people wanting to take this class. It is a class on boosting happiness. Mm. Apparently, everybody wants to take it. I don't know about you. Taking a class seems like a terrible way to boost my happiness.
And what is it? Just how to pour a drink?
The day I left school, seemed pretty happy.
That was the happiest day of your life.
I don't have to do this ever again. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What is the class you want to take?
How to master the art of pretending to care. Because I'm not very good at it. You can see it on my face.
That's interesting.
Very quickly.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
No, you're bad too.
Dang it. I got to take that class. I'm not taking a class. Norway has told their conscripts. You know what conscript is. That's basically people, they're military members. Everyone has to enlist at a certain age in Norway.
Oh, okay.
So they've told them now that they used to give them a whole uniform, underwear.
Wow.
And the thing, and then they were like, you can keep the underwear at the end. Apparently supplies are low in Norway. They now have to return their underwear and socks.
That's so disgusting.
What's the worst hand-me-down you've ever gotten, Anthony?
I had to really think about this. Because I don't have a big brother. I had a sister. And my dad, I guess I want to say when I first started getting underwear, I got his. And underwear and socks. But
yeah, you don't want that.
That's a real bummer.
No, you don't. And you don't ever want to think, is that stain mine? That's a bad thought to have.
That is a terrible thought.
We got to get out of here. We want to thank everybody for joining us. Remember to follow us on all our social medias, at Instant Serious. Anthony's out there tweeting a lot. So get on there and yell at Anthony on the Twitterverse, at Instant Serious. We're going to be back next week with even more show, talking more. I'm sure there will be more Cowboys fallout next week. I'm sure it's not over. Of course, AFC Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll wrap that up some more. And next week's games all coming up. Please, everybody, be safe out there. Have a great next week.
Happy MLK Day.
Happy MLK Day. What a better way to wrap this up. And keep your underwear clean. We'll see you next week. Everybody, peace.